OnRadio.com. Simple, huh? So, did anything happen today? I thought it was pretty quiet. I was, you know, I in my kerchief and Ma in her cap, we had just settled down for a long Fitzmas nap, when out on the yard there arose such a clatter, I rose from my bed to see what was the matter, when what to my wondering eyes should appear but Harriet Myers, and on her cheek the tiniest tear, as she stepped back from her nomination to the highest court in the land. Poor Harriet. Poor, poor Harriet. She wasn't competent to begin with. Then it turns out she's a fake Christian, or a fake evangelist. Then she's a fake Catholic. Then we find out she's a land swindler. You know, it all just points to one thing. She needs to stay on in the Bush administration. That's where fake Christians, fake Catholics, fake evangelo-fascists, land speculating swindlers, that's where they go. That's creepy crony heaven, isn't it? Yeah, Harriet can just stay right here where she's loved by Saul. Watch him work that jaw. Have you noticed him lately, dear leader? Out there grinding his jaw? That is a cokehead, folks. That, well, you know, that's a dude who skis on his proboscis. That's a man who lives on Bolivian marching powder. Now, what did Robin Williams once say? Cocaine is the Indian's gift to the white man. You take our land, we give you monkey for your back. But although there were a great deal of Republican senators who were relieved that they weren't going to have to stand up and be counted voting against this awful woman, George Voinovich wasn't one of them. Now, George is a neighbor of ours over in the Buckeye State. See, this really is a story about statements by George Voinovich. I couldn't do this if this was not a real reprint of copy from the Cleveland Blaine Dealer. Via the Associated Press. Republican Senator George Voinovich accused conservative groups from his party of forcing Supreme Court nominee Harriet Myers to withdraw with mean-spirited and prematurely judgmental treatment. Premature judgment? Nah, leave it alone. Leave it alone. Just not going to go there. She probably experienced the worst welcome of any nominee, especially from folks who should be supportive of the president. I wouldn't say it was a welcome, George. But the fact of the matter is there is an urge to gloat. There is an urge to sit back and smirk quietly to oneself, as if one had just looked into one's Fitzmas stocking and found a little pre-present. But not so fast. I'm still filled with a sense of dread and foreboding that, in fact, we've been Brer Rabbited. I mean, when you get right down to it, maybe one of the few books you would not be surprised to find out George Bush had actually read would be the Uncle Remus tales, wouldn't it? You know, he likes to call Joel Chandler Harris's Tales of Uncle Remus the stories about the good old days, when black men were referred to as Uncle, and younger black men were referred to as bucks. Yeah, because after all, we're dealing with the Klan without the sheets. But I do. I'm terribly afraid that we have been Brer Rabbited, because it was strong, upstanding, and I'm not kidding this time. I use that as sarcasm from time to time. You know, strong, upstanding, God-fearing, morally, blah, blah, blah. No, this time, Democrats kind of got taken to school. They saw what happens when people stand up and really object to something George Bush does. And in this case, it was people standing up and objecting to Harriet Myers. So in the grand tradition of Br'er Rabbit, oh, throw me in the just do anything. Don't give us that Harriet Myers. Don't throw me in that briar patch. So this clears the way for George to nominate some absolute jurisprudential monster. An absolute monster. You know, Edith Prickly or whatever her name is down in Texas that just, you know, hates everybody. Hates freedom, hates America. You know, good conservative. Or Robert Bork, anyone? You know, he's tanned, he's rested, he's ready, and he shaved the beard! He's not weird anymore! Never mind that he has publicly espoused the fact that the Declaration of Independence... He said this! The Declaration of Independence might not be such a good idea. That Robert Bork, yeah. So the door is open for all manner of Frankenstein monsters to come wandering out of the White House crypt. And we had best be alert, and maybe we had best be ready to encourage some of our Democratic leaders to show as much spine as some of those Republicans did. What do you think? Well, any way you like, any way you slice it, we bid a fond farewell as the sun sets slowly in the west to Harriet Myers. I'm Bob Kincaid. She's gone!
There is good news in the fight against breast cancer. The deaths from this disease are actually declining. But we can't celebrate too soon. The reason deaths from breast cancer are declining is because more and more of you are going through cancer screenings. And it is those screenings that are detecting it earlier and earlier when it's most curable. October is National Breast Cancer Awareness Month. If you're a woman over 40, take this opportunity to schedule your annual mammogram. If you're a woman of any age and are at high risk for developing breast cancer, talk to your doctor about how often you should receive screening mammograms. And share this with your sisters, mothers, wives, and daughters. If you need more information, it is easily available at www.radiologyinfo.org. Breast cancer deaths are on the decline. Let's keep it that way. Get the information you need about mammography screening from the Radiological Society of North America at www.radiologyinfo.org.
When I found out my jeans were made using child labor in sweatshops, I wrote a letter to the company saying, reconsider your labor practices. A few months later, I get a letter back saying, thanks for being a loyal customer, and they included a coupon for a 25% discount on their jeans. So I got smart, wrote letters every day to all the stores that carry the brand, asking them to stop supporting the companies who use child labor in sweatshops. And I just kept getting letters back thanking me for my concerns and more coupons for more discounts on more jeans. So I'm telling my friend about it, and she flips out, saying that between all the letters and coupons, some paper company cut down a small forest, driving off two indigenous tribes, hundreds of endangered animals, killing thousands of plant species, some of which may have contained vaccines for HIV, cancer, and syphilis. Meanwhile, the guys cutting down the trees are 13-year-old kids who work night and day for months just to save up enough money to buy a pair of jeans made by child labor in sweatshops.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. Just one pint of blood can save up to 3 lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
Want to fight childhood asthma? Then keep your home smoke-free. Because secondhand smoke can trigger your child's asthma attacks. Even as little as a puff or two can trigger an attack. So make a new house rule. No smoking indoors. Even when the kids are out of the house or in another room. Toss the matches, hide the ashtrays, and put your foot down. If you're gonna smoke, you're gonna smoke outside. Because smoke can linger for longer than you think. And just a little secondhand smoke can be enough to trigger an asthma attack. The same goes for the car. A couple of puffs in a space that small is more than enough to cause trouble. So stub it out before you step in. Hey, It takes a lot of willpower to quit smoking, but it can take a lot less to quit smoking in the house, and it can make a big difference to a child with asthma. Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org, because no child should feel like a fish out of water. Brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
She don't like her eggs all runny. She thinks crossing her legs is funny. She looks down her nose at money. She gets it on like the Easter Bunny. She's my baby, I'm her honey. I'm never gonna let her go.
She ain't got laid in a month of Sundays. Caught him once and he was sniffing my undies. He ain't too sharp, but he gets things done.
All right, welcome back.
Beer like it's oxygen.
Almost 19 minutes past the hour.
I'm his honey. Never gonna let him go.
And, of course, as we talk about Harriet Myers, I'm Bob Kincaid, by the way, it's important to realize why she ultimately bowed out. And the cover that was given for bowing out by these senators like Jeff Sessions. The reason she ultimately pulled the plug on her nomination has to do with the fact that the Senate, both sides of the Senate Judiciary Committee, Arlen Specter and gutless Patrick Leahy, both said, hey, we want to see your paperwork from when you were White House counsel. And Bush came out Monday and said, I'm not going to let you see those. Right? Sure. But then they realized one little thing. What did they realize? I'll tell you what they realized. They realized that they could not win on trying to withhold those papers because Lowe, you know, what was it, 12 years or 8 years ago now? A bunch of Republicans ran to the Supreme Court screaming that William Jefferson Clinton did not have attorney-client privilege with his White House counsel. Because what the White House counsel was paid with taxpayer dollars, and that therefore they would damn sure drag Bill Clinton's lawyer in White House counsel into court to talk about whether or not he had consensual sex, or almost sex, depends on how you look at that sort of thing. So because of the precedent that these ugly, evil, nasty Republicans started by attacking Bill Clinton's zipper, they wised up and realized that, you know, trying to keep the paperwork out of the hands of the Senate from the White House counsel concerning things like torture might not fly. So, later, Harriet. See ya. It sure was fun. Oh, sometimes the worm turns slowly, but the worm... Well, the worm does turn. And, well, you gotta, you know, several Republicans have left the reservation lately. John Danforth, former Missouri Republican senator, ordained Episcopal priest, he got off the reservation not too long back, yesterday to be precise. Danforth was meeting with students at the Bill Clinton School of Public Service. That's a graduate branch of the University of Arkansas on the grounds of the Clinton Presidential Library. And Danforth said this. I think that the Republican Party fairly recently has been taken over by the Christian conservatives, by the Christian right. I don't think that this is a permanent condition, but I think this has happened and that it's divisive for the country. Well, it is divisive for the country. That was their goal. That's their aim. They want to divide the country and then conquer it. And it would have, well, I don't know. Maybe it's not a permanent condition for the Republican Party. It appears to be. You know, when they've when Republican organizations like West Virginians for Life have enough sway that they can make a Democratic governor come to their little meeting. That sounds like a permanent condition to me. The only problem is it's not terminal. But Danforth stepped off the reservation to say that, and he said the same thing in the New York Times not too long back. And right here close to home in the wild, wonderful hills of West Virginia, we had an example today. Came out in today's Charleston Daily Mail, the right-wing Republican rag that's published every afternoon. Now, for those of you outside West Virginia who don't know, we have the mayor of South Charleston, a fellow named Richie Robb, has been a pretty high-exalted mucky-muck inside the West Virginia Republican Party, such as it is. And he just told them, sorry, see ya later, got no time for you, I'm out of here, and he went and registered Democrat today. Now, this is the same Richie Robert, who was a Republican mayor of South Charleston, said, you know what? The Iraq War is wrong. And we need to end it and bring our troops home. And South Charleston City Council passed a resolution to that effect not too long back. Oh, Lord God, Billy Bob, weren't the mouth breathers and the knuckle draggers and the chicken hawks angry about that? But he did it anyway. And I mean, this guy got a bronze star in Vietnam. So, you know, it's really kind of hard to hammer on him. He's, as Republicans went, he was a pretty normal guy. Now, well, he's a Democrat, and I say we welcome him with a laurel and hearty handshake. Seriously, I'm very glad to see Richie Robb come to his senses, and what it is, you know, and it's great to see the Republican Party's little catchphrases turned around and bashed across their ugly little faces once in a while. Richie Robb said, he didn't leave the Republican Party. Richie Robb says the Republican Party left him. When the Republican Party became dominated by mouth breathers and knuckle-dragging freaks who believe that the only life that's worth saving is one that's in the womb, but that life outside the womb doesn't matter worth a tinker's damn. When the Republican Party is dominated by cronyism, as our good friend David said last night, by people like Mike Brown, who says that he needs to stay on in an advisory capacity at FEMA so people can learn from his experience. Jesus, we could learn from his experience by putting him in the stocks and throwing rotten vegetables at him for a lot less than $120,000 a year. But when the party's taken over by the likes of that, when the party is taken over by a gang of chicken hawks who have never, ever had the courage to serve their country, but are more than glad to send 2,000 young men and women off to die in a stupid, senseless, heart-rending war that has made the people we invaded hate us more than they did to begin with. I agree with Richie Robb. That's not a party worth being in. When you believe in being smart with your money, when you believe in being smart with taxpayer money, and you're involved in a party that has run up a multi-trillion dollar deficit when this administration started in positive money, that's not a party you want to be party to, is it? So as we head toward our bottom of the hour break, kudos to Richie Robb. And Richie, from me to you, buddy, welcome to the party of the normal people. I think you'll like it here. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Thank you. right?
It's lonely.
It's really lonely.
I miss my brother.
I miss my brother.
I'm surrounded by other people, but it's not the same.
I've got other people around me, but it's not the same.
It's pretty scary, but I don't let it rattle me.
It's pretty scary around here, but I don't let it rattle me.
You always have to watch your back.
There's no one to watch my back.
I spend my whole day worried who's out to get
me. I'm always wondering who's out to get me.
But I can take care of myself.
But I can take care of myself.
No matter what, I'll keep my head up.
No matter what, I'll keep my head up.
It's not like I have a choice.
It's not like I have a choice.
This'll all be over in 5 years, 3 months, and 17 days.
This'll all be over in 5 years, 3 months, and 17 days.
Go to jail for a gun crime and your family serves a sentence with you. Something to think about before committing a gun crime. Gun crimes hit home. This message brought to you by Project Safe Neighborhoods and the Ad Council.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her. Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Hey, Ranger, why do you have to remind people to be careful with fire?
Well, Mr. Mountain Lion, sometimes people need to be reminded about certain things, like not to run with scissors or let children play with wild dingoes, and to be responsible for fires they start.
So what you're saying is that people can be careless and forgetful?
Pretty much.
That makes me very sad.
Sounds like someone needs a hug.
Back off or I'll turn your hat into confetti!
Remember, only you can prevent wildfires. A public service message from Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, State Forester, and the Ag Council.
Laughing and falling,
Welcome back. Me, I'm little old Bob Kincaid. It's about 33 and a half minutes past the hour. A reminder, the phone number is 877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 877-443-2366. Locally, 304-658-5433. If you want to get in touch with the program, also by email, bob@headonradio.com. Our good friend Peter down in Tallahassee used that means of communication. Noting another angle to this Harriet Myers business is the fact that she participated in the suppression of Bush's AWOL status in the Texas National Guard. Peter notes Bush can't afford to have her questioned about her role in that particular scandal. And you're right, Peter, because and that sort of works back to something I said earlier about precedence. You see, you got to remember, Whitewater had absolutely not a damned thing to do with William Jefferson Clinton's presidency. Nothing in the whole Whitewater transaction took place either during Clinton's candidacy for president or after his inauguration. It was all stuff that was in the deep and dim and misty past. But because the Republicans were so hell-bent on destroying that man, for reasons known best to them, but probably having to do with the fact that he kicked their butts, they decided that they would do anything in their power to get at him and destroy him, and they started an investigation over a busted land deal that happened before he was president, and $70 million later were wallowing around in a private man's sex life. That's how it became that way. So, naturally, you couldn't have Harriet Myers up there, because the next thing you know, certain Democratic senators, should they suddenly grow a spine, might be asking her about things that she did for George Bush back before Bush was president, back when he was just a humble and lowly governor of Texas. Back when she was called in by his people, she was specifically, this is before she was on staff, mind you, what Peter's talking about. This is before she was part of his, no, she was hired as a private lawyer to go and dig up the dirt and look at all the filth that laid in George Bush's wake, including his AWOL days from the TANG, the Texas Air National Guard. And she found the dirt. And she would have been under oath. And that is not acceptable. Now, doesn't... Do you ever cease to be amazed at the machinations of these people? I am. I'm convinced. She was a ringer. She was put up there as someone that the conservatives could rally against and thereby make clear to George that what we really want is an America-hating, anti-democratic, anti-republic, fascist monster on the bench. And now George has the cover that he needs. Now he can my God, I'm not kidding. He could nominate Robert Bork and say, hey, well, it's what the people want. It's what my base wanted. Do you understand? Forgive me, but I live in fear that we're in a chess match and we're about eight moves behind. Hey, I got your pawn! Oh, hell, there went my bishop. That's what we have to worry about. That's the way these people operate. Don't think that because iScooter and Rover are in trouble, that they're not still machinating. You know, just like Lee Atwater, they'll be at it until their last breaths. But one way or the other, Harriet is gone. And that does make it interesting because there are a couple of hot-button issues before the court right now. It looks like Sandra Day O'Connor is going to keep on being that swing vote, sorry. Ooh, that was just a mental image I didn't need. Oh, goodness me. So, yeah, farewell, Harriet. Let's move on to some other things, if you don't mind. Really. No, not yet. Because even as early as, as recent as late last night, the Concerned Women of America, whom we discussed last night, their president's a guy, their chief counsel's a guy, but they're the Concerned Women of America. They did trot out, I don't know if this is a drag queen or what. They trotted out Wendy Wright. Now, I'm sorry, that sounds like a porn name to me.
Well, you gotta have a woman somewhere.
So, they trotted out Wendy Wright, and she said, "Concerned Women for America was founded to provide an alternative to radical feminists who claim to speak for all women and who seek to impose policies that do not respect unborn babies, family, or God. Too often these radical feminists found success not through democratic means, but through activist courts." Now here's the part where you more or less have to drop the hit of blotter acid in order to follow along. This is the thinking of the Concerned Women for America. "Every time Harriet Myers quotes or cites women she admires, they're to the left of Betty Friedan. We desire role models who have a strong record of promoting and advancing constitutional principles. Miss Myers' record, as reflected in her speeches, is of promoting a leftist agenda that relies upon the courts to impose their views." Now, that was Jan LaRue who said that. Jan LaRue, J-A-N, Jan LaRue, kind of like Rolling Stone, Jan Wenner. They're both guys! The chief counsel, the number one head honcho lawyer for Concerned Women of America, is a dude. Who, for all we know, may look quite, you know, stunning in a taffeta frock from time to time. I don't know. LaRue noted, "The record we know is a record that convinces us that Myers is not even close to being in the mold of Scalia or Thomas." Well, you know, that's the first time I've ever seen the word mold used around Scalia or Thomas. What is it in biology class? Slime mold. Yeah, they must have. Yeah, not even close to being in the slime mold of Scalia or Thomas. You know, and remember, you know what? A few months back, didn't a couple of scientists name a new slime mold after George Bush? I'm not kidding. They really did. Google it up. It happened. "We really wanted to back the president and sought evidence to support this nomination, but we find this Supreme Court nominee unqualified and her record troubling. However, we look forward to a nomination that we can wholeheartedly endorse," said Beverly LaHaye.
I've heard these names before.
Sure. LaHaye? LaHaye? Ever? No, you never heard that name before.
Of course not.
Ugh. So this is how far, this is how. Now, you talk about reactionary left-wing, you know, radical lefty, commie, neo, pinko, whatever they're calling us lately, demonizing people. "Every person she cites as a hero is somebody who's to the left of Betty Friedan. I bet Betty Friedan can't even make a damn pan of brownies." Freaks. And it's all Uncle Remus. And it's all Brer Rabbit. And now we're really in the briar patch. This is going to be fun. I'm Bob Kincaid.
bedtime song?
Rock-a-bye baby by Newton's treetop. His first law of motion, make sure you won't stop. The same rules of physics apply to a ball, while gravity is a force that makes things fall.
By the sixth grade, many girls lose interest in math and science, but it's never too early to set your daughter's future in motion. For some simple ideas, go to girlsgotech.org.
A public service announcement brought to you by Girl Scouts of USA and Ad Council.
Mrs. Deer, you're in the road again.
Oh, Ranger, I saw headlights and...
I understand.
Hey, so you're working late, huh?
Yeah, Smokey and I were up thinking of ways to remind people to be responsible for fires they start.
So what you come up with?
We're going to make some radio commercials featuring a ranger and talking animals.
A little sophomoric, don't you think?
Yeah, so?
Remember, only you can prevent wildfires. A public service message from Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ag Council.
Are you a safe miner? If so, you may be eligible to receive official professional miner recognition. Hello, I'm Bob Friend with the Mine Safety and Health Administration. If you've worked 3 years or more in the mining industry without incurring a lost time workplace injury, you can be recognized as a professional miner. Professional miners are a tremendously valuable resource to the mining industry because of their proven ability to work in a hazardous environment yet remain injury-free. Professional miners stay injury-free because they are experts at recognizing and eliminating hazards. Professional miners always wear their personal protective equipment. Professional miners always conduct thorough workplace examinations. And professional miners always make the right decision where matters of safety and health are concerned. Call your local MSHA office and ask them about the professional miner recognition. Thank you for listening.
Hello?
Hi, Bill? This is George Dewey from up the street.
Oh, hey, George. How you doing?
Good, good. Say, I noticed you've been walking to work these days instead of driving.
Mm.
And I don't quite know how to say this, but...
But what?
But your butt. Your buttocks. Your butt. I think I found your butt on my front lawn. Have you recently lost it?
As a matter of fact, I have, George. It's about time someone noticed.
Well, it was kind of hard to miss, if you know what I mean. Anyways, would you like it back?
Would I like it back? No, not really.
So it's okay if I throw it out?
Sure, that's fine. Take it easy.
Step number 8. Walk instead of driving whenever you can. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to help you become a healthier, well, you. Get started at www.smallstep.gov and take a small step to get healthy.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Just a little less than 12 minutes before the hour. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. Tickled to death to have you along with us this evening. And if there's something on your mind, a bee under your bonnet, burr under your saddle, by all means, jump on the phone. Get on the horn, the Head On Radio Network. Get on the horn, 877-4-HEAD-ON, 877-443-2366, or locally, 304-658-5453. Yeah, a lot of people out there have... calling plans now that don't ding you for long distance, so hence we provide a normal number as well as the toll free. But if you need us to pay the freight, by God, that's the kind of nice people we are. We'll do it. One last note, vis-a-vis our apparently recurring theme about getting off the reservation. Having shared with you the weirdness of concerned women for America who can't do anything without the help of a guy, seeing how their entire hateful little organization is run by men. Mike DeWine, the other senator from Ohio, I shared George Voinovich's comments with you. DeWine and Voinovich, boy, they were Harriet Myers fans. I mean, they just you get the idea, they just about jumped up, and it was like the Beatles at Ed Sullivan, George Voinovich and Mike DeWine, the way they felt about Harriet. And Mike DeWine stepped off the reservation. He said earlier this week he was, and this is a quote, tired of these conservative groups I've never heard of trying to discredit Harriet. Oh, that's not going to be good. That's just not going to play well in those good Republican households in Ohio. Because as I noted a few nights ago, this also out of Ohio, there's one of those weird little knuckle-dragging groups, the mouth breathers, hey, look over there, Mavis, that are outing people who go to strip joints. Now, you know, you're a good, upstanding Republican. You just want a quiet, peaceful night of looking at the naked women. And you go to a strip joint, and by God, there's Pastor Whackbottom writing your name down. I see you. I see who you looked at, brother.
What's the pastor doing
there? Well, no, Pastor Whackbottom is only there to take the names of the people who come in. He's not looking at the naked ladies.
How much money did he lose?
So, I don't know. Maybe we're seeing a little bit of a sea change. Maybe these some of these Republicans are figuring out just exactly what kind of a genie they've let out of the bottle. And it's certainly no adorable little Barbara Eden. That genie probably looks a lot more like Barbara Bush. Oops, sorry. Oh. Yeah, you can just GERD. Gastroesophageal reflux disorder. The mere thought of Barbara Bush. Why should I trouble my beautiful mind with who died and how many in body bags? Why should I trouble my beautiful mind? Actually, it's working out quite well since most of these people in this here Astrodome were underprivileged when they lived in New Orleans anyway. The worst part of it is I'm afraid they want to stay.
Ladies, do not French kiss in public. Okay.
Okay. It only works if you turn the mic on.
Ladies, do not French kiss in public. And the silver douchebag and the old dried-up bag of bones were French kissing in front of the Houston Astros, and you wonder why they lost.
Yeah, we talked about that last night when you were off. But what am I going to do when she tells me she needs a night off? I'll tell you what I do. I say, you take the night off, honey. You say it, and I play it.
Or I'll belong to the concerned citizens. Oh, I'm sorry, concerned women of America.
Concerned women of America.
Uh-huh. Who needs a man? Thank you.
To run things. Thanks. We do appreciate. Never mind. Oh, mercy. I'm kind of wandering around a little bit. It's Thursday night, and all Harriet Radio, Harriet Myers, all the time. We'll be back with more Harriet Myers right after these. There's more stuff going on out there. Share one with you, and my lovely wife is sitting right here, and she can verify it. We've got youngins in school, and we sit, because we have a lot of traditional family values here in the Kincaid household, we try to make sure that they get their homework done. So what do we do? Sixth grade social studies, was that it, honey?
Yes.
Okay. Agnes comes running up. I was working on something. She comes, have you seen it? Did you see it? We got to talk. Now, usually when she says we got to talk, that generally means that I have stepped in something big and stinky. But this time, and I mean, you know, the look on her face, it was like, who got hurt? Is there a severed limb? Now, look at this! And she hands this paper to me. And the title of the paper is the Lydians, the Phoenicians, and the Hebrews. Now remember, this is social studies. And all of us at some point in time probably saw a paper formatted this way. You know, you've got 10 names or 10 items down one side. They're numbered 1 through 10. They got a blank by them. On the other side of the paper, it's A through whatever. And it's definitions. You got to match the definitions. You get the idea. There was one question about the Lydians. And it basically said, the Lydians. And the answer was, first people to mint coins. And there was one question about the Phoenicians, the Phoenicians, and the answer was established seafaring trading network.
Which was great.
Great, fine, cool. The other 9, 10, or 12 questions were things like, one side it says Moses, the other side it says, God chose him to lead the Hebrew people. Now, before the first, you know, we have little wingnuts that sit around listening to this program and flapping their little wings. Before you start screaming anti-Semitic, no. And, you know, another one was Ark of the Covenant. God put the Ten Commandments in this box or something. And that is what Dear Agnes was screaming about.
Oh, Bob, I wasn't screaming. I was apoplectic. Okay. That's what I send them to church for, not to school.
Right, exactly. You know, fine, teach them about the Hebrew people. Teach them about the Lydians, the Phoenicians, the Thracians, the Medes, the Persians, the Mycenaeans, the Minoans, the Egyptians. But the thing is, the answer to the question was God chose him. Really? Really? God chose him. This is a scientific thingy, okay? This is sociology. This is where we're supposed to be able to prove, you know, God chose him. Okay, I need the photograph, the painting. I need the document, the deed of title. I choose you. No, the way you lay that out is they believe God chose. This is the creeping of religion into our school system. And it's not creeping, it's at a dead run. You know, and we're out here fighting intelligent design, and my kid is getting Sunday school in sociology?
Well, I don't mind Sunday school, but I believe in a separation of church and state. The state one, the church the other.
Well, I tend to agree with that, but one way or the other, we got to take a break. So we'll do that, and when we come back, well, your phone calls are always welcome. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Treat me with understanding.
Treat me with respect.
Drug and alcohol addiction is an equal opportunity disease.
Treat me without judgment.
Individuals in recovery come from all walks of life and deserve to be treated with respect for winning one of the hardest battles there is.
Treat me with courtesy.
Treat me with humanity.
Alcohol and drug addiction deserves proper treatment. For drug and alcohol information and treatment referral, call 1-800-662-HELP.
There is good news in the fight against breast cancer. The number of deaths from this disease are actually declining. Declining because more and more of you are going through cancer screenings, which detect the disease at its earliest and most curable stages. October is National Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Women over 40 need to schedule their annual mammograms now. And if you're a woman of any age and are at risk, talk to your doctor. You can find easy-to-understand information from the Radiological Society of North America at www.radiologyinfo.org.
Hey!
Yeah. Take an hour in the liberal sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
All right, just getting smoother and smoother and smoother. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Hour 2, just like Brian Reznor said. Little old shindig we call head on. And I think I started something in the commentary about, or the discussion commentary. I'm Paul Harvey. Good day. No, in the discussion about the indoctrination of our children in the public schools. You know, if I wanted them to get God chose Abraham, I'd send them to religious schools where they could learn about how there aren't any more unicorns because they were too stubborn to get on the ark, just like the dinosaurs. I send my children to the public schools so they can get a decent education in facts, in necessary knowledge, and we'll take care of the religious mysticism every Sunday. But I did. I started something. Okay. No. Go ahead, honey. You do it. You're already getting fan mail, so, you know.
Jealous.
Yes.
I found this little tract, and it was really interesting. It says, is being a Christian like being a pumpkin? Yes, it is. God picks you from the patch, brings you in, and washes all the dirt off of you. Then he cuts off the top and scoops out all the yucky stuff. He removes the seeds of doubt, hate, and greed. Then he carves you a new smiling face and puts his light inside of you to shine for all the world to see. Now go out and shine your light for God. Now I'm sorry, but if I'm a child, this is going to scare the bejesus out of me because I'm afraid God's going to cut me up.
Carve me up! Norman? Oh my, give me that. You made that up.
No, I didn't.
I find the scary, listen, the part where God scoops me out, I don't want to get scooped.
I'm more afraid of the Joker face that's going to get carved on me.
Carving? Carving? God's carving? With a knife?
Back when I was a kid, it was just, you don't do it or you're damned, period. I mean, there wasn't any of this.
No, but now you get carved.
But now you get carved.
And that's if you're on the winning side.
I was just afraid of revelations. Now I get this. It's kind of creepy.
Well, honestly, he cuts off the top.
Wait a minute, Bob. Does this have anything to do with my womb? I just want to know. Tell me now.
I refuse to answer on the grounds that it might tend to incriminate me. Do they realize what they're doing? First, God cuts off the top. Now, does that mean that you lose your? I mean, we're talking about, this is fundamentalist stuff. I mean, this isn't enlightened Christianity. This isn't your friendlings, your Episcopalians. I mean, you know where. This is the. Oh, Jesus, glory, take up the serpent. You know, this is those people. So you got to, and they miss the irony. They miss the irony entirely. First, God cuts off the top, so you lose your intellect. You lose your ability to reason. You lose your ability to think. And then he scoops out all the yucky stuff. Now, the yucky stuff, if we're getting scooped, mind you, the yucky stuff is all your innards.
That's pretty much the way I took it. But I found this on my car, so... But it was on everyone's car. What a way to go. Now, I did not read this to my children.
Then he carves you a new smiling face. I mean, these Like I said, they have no sense of irony, and they have no sense of recognition, no ability to recognize what it is they're saying. Normal people ostensibly got these on their cars too, just like my painfully, tragically normal wife. Now I'm sure this resonates in the First Baptist Apostolic Temple of Holiness, Free Will, Goodness, and Herpetological Park. I'm sure this really resonates with him. Yes, that's right. We are all, yea, verily. Oh, brother, scoop me out. Scoop me out, brother, for I am full of yucky stuff inside. Now, wait. You got it. Now, on the one hand, they say, God created us all. We got to teach in school that God created us all. And yet, here on the other hand, they're telling us that we're all yucky inside.
But there is a difference. Because there are good Christians. There are people who try to live good lives.
I'm not talking about Christians here. I'm talking about
I'm making
fundies, religion industry people.
But I'm making the distinction. Because if you are going to tell a small child that they're going to be carved on, have you ever seen a child have their tonsils out? They're scared. If you're telling them God's going to do this, that's even worse.
That's right. God's going to reach down inside of you and yank your demon tonsils right out of your throat.
Just don't get me in the bathtub.
And here's the, you know, there goes Bob beating on the Baptist again. Do you understand? These people, these are the people who want to, you know, they don't want to share in democracy and the republic. These people want to rule America. These people want to be able to make it known, stated, accepted, adopted policy that inside of you is yucky stuff. Well, I'm sorry, Mr. Kincaid, we're going to have to do surgery on you. We're going to have to take out some of the yucky stuff. Yucky stuff. That's late 20th century, early 21st century. Well, you're full of ill humors and black bile, Bob. Do you see? These are the people who say that non-fundamentalist Christians, and then they really do, the Dominionists. The Christian Reconstructionists, they say that non-Christians should not be allowed to hold office in the United States. You think I'm kidding. Sometimes, he's just joking. There goes Bob. This is not a joke. These are the people who want to rule not just their own individual lives, but yours as well. These are the people who chased Harriet Myers out of a Supreme Court nomination. Now, I don't think for an instant that Harriet Myers would have been anything more than a rubber stamp for Clarence and Clarence Slappy Thomas and Fat Tony Scalia. Just because you're you're confirmed to a seat on the Supreme Court doesn't mean you have to be a genius. It doesn't even mean you ever have to write your own opinion. You just vote, and every now and then you sign off on somebody else's opinion. And that's all Harriet would have done. But these people, the same kind of religious fanatical freaks that think God carves you a new smiling face. These people thought that she wasn't good enough to be a member of the Supreme Court. Well, that was an oxymoron because they don't think. They just believe. They don't use their intellect. The dinosaurs were placed here to confound the mind of the sinner. Oh, brother, I'm Bob Kincaid.
Starving on their feet, 'cause they don't get enough to eat.
There is good news in the fight against breast cancer. The deaths from this disease are actually declining. But we can't celebrate too soon. The reason deaths from breast cancer are declining is because more and more of you are going through cancer screenings. And it is those screenings that are detecting it earlier and earlier when it's most curable. October is National Breast Cancer Awareness Month. If you're a woman over 40, take this opportunity to schedule your annual mammogram. If you're a woman of any age and are at high risk for developing breast cancer, talk to your doctor about how often you should receive screening mammograms. And share this with your sisters, mothers, wives, and daughters. If you need more information, it is easily available at www.radiologyinfo.org. Breast cancer deaths are on the decline. Let's keep it that way. Get the information you need about mammography screening from the Radiological Society of North America at www.radiologyinfo.org.
Jeans were made using child labor and sweat. A few months later, I thanked a loyal customer, and they included a coupon for a 25% discount on their jeans. So I got smart, wrote letters every day to all the stores that carry the brand, asking them to stop supporting the companies who use child labor in sweatshops. And I just kept getting letters back thanking me for my concerns and more coupons for more discounts on more jeans. So I'm telling my friend about it, and she flips out, saying that between all the letters and coupons, some paper company cut down a small forest, driving off two indigenous tribes, hundreds of endangered animals, killing thousands of plant species, some of which may have contained vaccines for HIV, cancer, and syphilis. Meanwhile, the guys cutting down the trees are 13-year-old kids who will work night and day for months just to save up enough money to buy a pair of jeans made by child labor in sweatshops.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. Just one pint of blood can save up to 3 lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
Want to fight childhood asthma? Then keep your home smoke-free. Because secondhand smoke can trigger your child's asthma attacks. Even as little as a puff or two can trigger an attack. So make a new house rule. No smoking indoors. Even when the kids are out of the house or in another room. Toss the matches, hide the ashtrays, and put your foot down. If you're going to smoke, you're going to smoke outside. Because smoke can linger for longer than you think. And just a little secondhand smoke can be enough to trigger an asthma attack. Same goes for the car. A couple of puffs in a space that small is more than enough to cause trouble. So stub it out before you step in. Hey, it takes a lot of willpower to quit smoking, but it can take a lot less to quit smoking in the house. And it can make a big difference to a child with asthma. Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org. Because no child should feel like a fish out of water. Brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Welcome back, 20 minutes after the hour. On a chilly but lovely night in our secure, undisclosed location in the wilds of wonderful West Virginia, I'm Bob Kincaid, alongside my lovely wife, Agnes. Hence we say we. I don't think of myself as some form of royalty. We are not amused. No. The phone number is 304-658-5453 or toll-free 877-4, the number 4, head on, H-E-A-D-O-N, just to make it easy, 877-443-2366. Email to Bob at headonradio.com. Now, you know, it's funny how things sort of theme themselves out, but in the midst of... Yeah, okay, God's going to carve you up like a pumpkin. Yeah, they're teaching religious mythology to my kids in school. And somewhere in the past, and I'm sure you've heard, if you listen to other progressive radio, I'm sure you've heard it from others as well, about the Reverend Fred Phelps. Now, Reverend Fred is about the lowest of the low. This is a guy who, he maintains websites like GodHatesFags.com. He is the chief bloodthirsty freak of the Westboro Baptist Church in, I believe, Topeka, Kansas, is it?
Yes.
Well, his latest stunt. Now, bear in mind, this is the guy who said that the people who died in the Christmas time tsunami in the South Pacific died because a lot of Swedes went to Thailand for their vacations, and God was punishing Sweden because a preacher up there had been jailed under their hate speech law for saying that homosexuals were damned to hell and should be killed on the sight, and that kind of, and they stuck that creep in jail. His name was Ake Green. Now, the Reverend Fred, like I said, now, I'm not kidding. He don't up to it. He owns up to it. He says, you know, he believes that God punished Sweden by killing Thai people. I'm guessing Fred Phelps's God is a really stupid God, because there's not much accounting for why you would kill Thai people to get back at Sweden. Look at the globe, for God's sakes. Now, his latest stunt, his latest hateful stunt, this is the creep who said that Matthew Shepard, that young man who was crucified on a fence in Laramie, Wyoming, was killed because God hates the queers. His latest stunt is going to creep like the Savage Wiener come down when the ACLU, whom he despises and hates, steps in to defend a right-wing fag-hater like Fred Phelps, who hates him just as much as he does, he Wiener. Where will Flush Flemball come down, seeing as how the ACLU stepped in to defend Flush Flemball in his medical records case? All right, we're up for a break. Phone number 877-4-HEAD-ON. Learn it, know it, use it. This is Head on the Head On Radio Network. I'm Bob Kincaid.
What's it like?
It's lonely.
It's really lonely.
I miss my brother.
I miss my brother.
I'm surrounded by other people, but it's not the same.
I've got other people around me, but it's not the same.
It's pretty scary, but I don't let it rattle me.
It's pretty scary around here, but I don't let it rattle me.
You always have to watch your back.
There's no one to watch my back.
I spend my whole day worried who's out to get me.
I'm always wondering who's out to get me.
But I can take care of myself.
But I can take care of myself.
No matter what, I'll keep my head up.
No matter what, I'll keep my head up.
It's not like I have a choice.
It's not like I have a choice.
This'll all be over in 5 years, 3 months, and 17 days.
This'll all be over in 5 years, 3 months, and 17 days.
Go to jail for a gun crime and your family serves a sentence with you. Something to think about before committing a gun crime. Gun crimes hit home. This message brought to you by Project Safe Neighborhoods and the Ad Council.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her. Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Hey, Ranger, why do you have to remind people to be careful with fire?
Well, Mr. Mountain Lion, sometimes people need to be reminded about certain things, like not to run with scissors or let children play with wild dingoes, and to be responsible for fires they start.
So what you're saying is that people can be careless and forgetful?
Pretty much.
That makes me very sad.
Sounds like someone needs a hug.
Back off or I'll turn your hat into confetti!
Remember, only you can prevent wildfires. A public service message from Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, State Forester, and the Ag Council.
Dad, let's sing that bedtime song.
Rock-a-bye baby by Newton's treetop. His first law of motion, make sure you won't stop. The same rules of physics apply to a ball, while gravity is a force that makes things fall.
By the sixth grade, many girls lose interest in math and science, but it's never too early to set your daughter's future in motion. For some simple ideas, go to girlsgotech.org.
A public service announcement brought to you by Girl Scouts of USA and Ad Council.
We'll be right back.
right, welcome back. Oh, let's see. Yeah, 26 and a half minutes or 27. Hell, I can't do math on the fly. It's the bottom of the hour, okay? You've got a clock. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On, your nightly confrontation with the facts. Just the facts, ma'am. The phone number is 877-4-HEAD-ON, 877-443-2366, or locally 304-658-5453, until we get all the rollover numbers fixed. Back, just finishing off a little bit with regard to the Reverend Fred Phelps. The Westboro Baptist Church got wind of the idea running around in Indiana to write a law that would curb these sorts of protests outside of funeral and funerals. And bear in mind, this is hateful, despicable, rotten, disgusting, hell-bent stuff. If there is a hell, I have no doubt whatsoever that Fred Phelps will be in it when his sorry ass dies. Okay? But you can't just go out trampling on the First Amendment because it's about the marketplace of ideas. The remedy to bad speech is more speech. Those are the words of the late, great Justice Learned Hand, America's greatest Native American jurist. But the real question here, the end of the story, in Oklahoma, Republican State Representative Paul Wesselhoft of Oklahoma, a retired U.S. Army chaplain, said he has conducted many military funerals. "I'm not just going to put up with that in my state," said Wesselhoft, who plans to introduce the Oklahoma bill. "They victimize a family when a family is at its most vulnerable state. Go to hell, Chaplain Wesselhoft! You want to know who's victimizing these families when it is at its most vulnerable state? Do you want to know who's victimizing that family? You are, Representative Wesselhoft! You good-for-nothing, damned, rotten Republican! You are! You and every one of your stinking brothers in corruption and crime and graft and greed and filth! You are, you damned Republican! You are! That family is in its most vulnerable state because good-for-nothing, sorry sons of syphilitic sea cooks like yourself stood up and said, we gotta fight them over there so we won't have to fight them here. Sorry, rotten human beings, pitiful excuses for members of the human race like you and your boy George, who spent a year trying to convince the American people and succeeded so roundly that at one point something on the order of 70% of the American people thought Saddam was behind 9/11 instead of 19 stinking Saudis. You, sir, are the reason for their grief, their victimization at this most vulnerable state. You, sir, and your pals Wolfie and Rummy and Cheney and Condi and Richard Pearl and Grover Norquist, all of these bloodthirsty monsters from the stinking bowels of hell that sent these American young men and women to die for nothing. You are the reason. Don't lay it off on Fred Phelps. Baby, you made Fred Phelps. You are Fred Phelps. Let's go to the phones. Jim's with us. Hey, Jim, you're head on. Wrong button, dear. There we go. One more button.
Bob?
Yeah.
What is this, Sins in the Hands of an Angry God night?
Well, I'm a... You know, I hate seeing these people...
I mean, let's not slip on any banana peels when we slide across that sawdust stage now, okay?
Yeah, all right, yeah, I'll try. Yeah, we muck it up a little bit with a little bit of sorghum molasses.
Well, I mean, Elmer Gantry's fine with Burt Lancaster, but I'm not sure it's the correct format for this program.
Well, doggone it, when you got people like this creepy little chaplain you know what I mean?
I know. Okay, écoutez-moi. Now, listen to me.
J'écoute.
Now, Fred Phelps has done more to hurt the Christian faith than all of the Flavian and Julian emperors, to include Nero and Marcus and, let's see, Diocletian combined. We know this. If you don't believe it, watch the Laramie Project.
Oh,
and
no,
a man like this will, of course, be hoisted on his own petard. But please don't paint a lot of the Christian community with the same brush that you paint him.
Oh, I didn't. No, I've never called Fred a Christian.
No, these people
He's a religion industrialist. He's a fake Christian.
Well,
he's a phony. He's a charlatan.
He is just a monger of hate. That's all he is. And if you saw the Laramie Project, which was a docudrama about Matthew Shepard, and if you could see the vignettes of Fred Phelps and his followers, excited as they are.
Yeah, I've seen the film.
I mean, these people are simply, they operate just the way the Nazis did before World War II, and their gospel is not one of love, not one of compassion.
Hey, Jim,
one of condemnation and hate.
I understand, but let me ask you a quick question.
Really?
When was the last time you heard George Bush denounce Fred Phelps? Or Scotty McClellan, or Bill Frist, or Tom DeLay?
I've never heard. Now, to be honest with you, I don't listen to these people. I've never heard to speak of the man.
Well, here's the skinny.
I mean, he's so left-wing, I would think that they would try to distance themselves from him.
They have never denounced him. Never.
But have they not just let him just basically do his thing?
Well, you remember a long time back when we talked about that Senate resolution where a big old handful of Republicans couldn't be bothered to sign off on a simple statement saying, "We're sorry the Senate didn't do anything about lynching." You remember that?
I'm not sure.
Well, this is kind of the same thing.
Oh,
Jim.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
This is kind of the same thing.
You're talking about Southern trees bearing strange fruit. That's
right.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
This is the same thing. This is acceptance by silence.
Well, under the law, silence does imply consent.
It does indeed.
And, you know, you can't find any greater and more vocal opponent of Fred Phelps or people of his ilk than this speaker.
Right.
Than this, your humble narrator.
But you've got to back up a little bit. This isn't so much about Christianity, Jim. This is, you know, these people hate what he's doing at these funerals, but they don't have enough guts and gumption to stand up and acknowledge that they are the ones who created the situation that let Fred Phelps feed on it.
Well, listen, inform me with your acumen about this chaplain. What did he do? I didn't catch the
message. Well, he's a former chaplain. He's a member of the house out in Oklahoma, and he wants to craft a statute that says that Fred Phelps can't protest at funerals. Now, you and I both...
Can or can't?
Cannot. Okay,
okay.
That's going to be repugnant to the First Amendment. We know that. This is political speech and religious speech. You can't just...
Do you think that Fred Phelps should be able to go up and protest at these funerals by the way he does and tell the people that their son or daughter has gone to hell because they're gay? Do you think he should be able to?
I think the First Amendment... I don't think he should be able to. I think the First Amendment allows him to. Now, the remedy to that, Jim, quite honestly, is for one of those grieving family members to take a ball bat up and beat his brains in.
Well, now, see, there you're going to transgress another area of the law.
Well, but the thing is,
you're talking about vicious assault and battery.
Oh no, I'm talking about murder.
Well, I think that basically people like Fred Phelps should be kept away and physically restrained from any funeral where he is going to try this at. I think that might be the solution to the problem.
But the thing
be proactive in that, not let him get near these people.
Well, and that happened in Jim. That happened in Tennessee. They did exactly that. But the point here, the real point behind all of this, behind this hand wringing by these Republican legislators, is that they're so repulsed by this, and it is repulsive conduct. Make no mistake.
Well, it's just in bad taste.
It's hateful, it's mean, it's awful, it's the absolute worst fruit of the human vine.
Well,
okay?
I agree with that. This occurs in Columbia.
South Carolina,
where the first it's a Presbyterian church now, a very mainstream Presbyterian church in which this minister actually arose at the funeral of a young man who had died of AIDS and expounded on how this fellow was in the nether regions.
Yeah.
I mean, now...
Well, that's his shtick.
I mean, I don't know if a good vaudeville comedian or a Jewish person would use shtick difficult to apply it. I mean, that's just absolutely horrible.
Yeah,
and
it is.
It's the horrible thing in the world.
But the thing is, if we curtail the First Amendment because what Fred Phelps did is wrong and hateful and awful, then the camel's nose is under the tent and we're down the slippery slope.
Well, I don't think you're going to curtail the First Amendment by not allowing people like Fred Phelps to be in a position where they can deliver their gospel.
Well, right. If you can isolate him by community action, fine. But if you go crafting statutes, yeah, you're tap dancing on the First Amendment.
Well, you know, I will say this. You cannot make an omelet without breaking eggs.
Right, but
as he's concerned, I think that any measure that will be necessary and proper to shut him up, I would use.
Well, and
the First Amendment be damned.
Well, I can't.
That's how I feel.
I understand.
He does not have the right to do this.
Well, and I'm on board with you when you say, you know, by any means necessary. Frankly, I don't think a jury in Indiana would convict a man whose son was being put in the ground while Fred Phelps was yakking about him being in hell because America tolerates gay people. I don't think 12 persons tried and true would put a man in prison for life if he went up and brained him with a Louisville slugger. I don't think so.
I don't know. I don't know what a jury would do. Once the jury is impaneled, and it just depends on the nature and the complexion of the jury. But I mean,
you know, there's
what
I'm
saying is, you know, basically the solution would be to isolate this man and keep him away from
a situation like
this.
But the question is, and we've got it.
Now, if you have to craft the law, if you have to write a law in order to effect that, then the law must be written.
Right, and the law will be stricken down, Jim.
I don't think so.
Yeah, it is all this stuff is constitutionally repugnant to the First Amendment.
Well,
I've seen the
Constitution, listen, since 2000, I have seen the Constitution made a doormat of. Bob, what are you talking about?
Well, you got a point. I won't fight you on that. But we do have to go to the next level down and take into account these Republican legislators, Jim, who are so upset about this, but they are unwilling to hold the mirror up to their own bloodthirsty faces and account for the fact that they were the ones that helped make this war, helped make that funeral possible. You see what I'm saying?
Well, I know exactly what you're saying. A lot of good Democrats did, too. A lot of Democrats voted for that war. You know it, and I know it. As a matter of fact, the man that I voted for president voted for that war. Now, why they did this? Only they will know. I will assume that they did so on the basis of bad information, and they were deliberately misinformed. And I think that the people who did this should have to pay the penultimate price or the ultimate price for it. I mean, a lot of people were fooled. I'm going to have to give them that latitude.
Well, I'll give
them that.
They
can make a mistake. I believe what John Kerry said when he said, if had I known the real truth, I would not have voted the way I did.
Okay, I'm with you. I'm with you there. But whether it's John Kerry, John Edwards, whether it's Hillary Clinton, Joe Medum Lieberman, any of these Democrats that voted for this god awful nightmare, once you realize you have made a mistake, is it not incumbent upon you to start trying to undo said mistake?
Well, I think they're probably trying to do that right now, and I think that they have wrung their hands over it many and many a night, and
they realize exactly how
just wrong they were.
Jim, Hillary Clinton is out there talking about, we've got to win this war. That is not a woman who is repenting for her mistake.
Well, now let me say this, and I'm playing the devil's advocate here.
Well, we're in
We are entrenched in Iraq for the time being. And it is a very, very bad war. It is not a good war. It is not a war any better than Vietnam. It is not a war any better than the Russo-Japanese War was back in 1905.
Or the British occupation of
Iraq. We are going to have to extricate ourselves from it as gracefully and as delicately as we can. Now, that's the only thing we can do. Now, we can scream and yell and holler at each other all we want to. But in the world of realpolitik, we're going to have to extricate ourselves slowly but as gracefully as possible. Now, what will probably happen when we do is that country, which is simply an amalgam people who should never have been put together. They were basically, Iraq is just the creation of a British cartographer.
Yeah.
To put Shiites and Sunnis and Kurds together when they shouldn't have been put together, it will probably split into some type of trial federalist state.
Well, or,
and they'll
or,
probably
or,
completely split apart, or it could be absorbed completely by Iran.
Or be, you know, some sort of sick, sandy balkanization.
But, I mean, for us to just, I would like to say about face and let's leave the way we came in. But I don't think that we can do that practically. I mean, we're talking about a practical situation. And these people, like Hillary Clinton, are maintaining their stance on the war, probably for the reasons of politics. Let's face it, Bob. Politicians, when they're not kissing babies, they're stealing their lollipops.
Well, amen, sweet Jesus, to that, Jim.
Okay,
no doubt about it.
I mean, that's
but
the
at
nature
some point,
of the game.
At some point, if you believe the war is wrong, you have to say so. Hillary, John, all these so-called Democrats are out there saying, we have to win the war.
Well, that's what Kerensky said about the war in Russia. We see where it got him.
Right, but
thrown
the
out.
Point is,
he had to leave in an American car, and guess who took over? Lenin.
If it was a mistake to begin with, and it was done on ginned up information, and you know it now, do you not make a bigger fool of yourself by compounding it with things like we have to win the war, Jim? This is not a war
Don't
we
you think
can
he was
ever
speaking
win.
Tongue in cheek, Bob?
No, she is. Hillary is deadly in earnest. She's trying to appeal to the people who like killing other people, the Republicans.
Well, I think she's trying to appeal to that part of her electorate, which will keep her in office. And like I say, that's the nature of politics. But by the same token, these people are going to realize that we're going to have to extricate ourselves eventually and as gracefully as possible. And well, I'm afraid that grace is not going to be very pretty to look at.
Well, what was it John Kerry said at those hearings in front of Congress? How do you ask a man to be the last person to die for a mistake? I mean, does it still obtain, Jim?
It still pertains, and it does. But, you know, we're going to have to get out of there, but we're going to have to try to get out of there, like I say, in an expeditious but in as reasonably sane manner as possible. Because, I mean, for us to withdraw immediately would create a tremendous problems not only there but here at home. It would exacerbate them, I feel.
Well,
I hate the fact that we're there more than you do. I really do, honestly.
I don't doubt it. We've already broken the military, Jim.
Yeah, we have. And we're
it's going to be a generation fixing it, just like Vietnam was.
Right, and I think people are beginning to realize this because 70% of the people in this country now feel that we made a mistake by going in there, and we need to get the hell out. And already this is a reason that even the Bush administration is talking about an exit strategy for this summer.
Well, as a Democrat, I have to look back to history. I can't help myself and remember that Hubert Humphrey was not so good at the idea of we need to get out of Vietnam in the 68 election. And Nixon came up and promised that he would get us out of Vietnam, and that is what carried Richard Nixon in the 68 election.
Well, but look how long we were in there after Nixon came into office.
Right, because he was Nixon and he was a damn liar.
I mean, you know, we actually, he dropped more bombs probably than Lyndon Johnson did.
Absolutely. Hey, Jim, I've got another call online. I got to roll along, but it's always good talking to you. And hey, I'm glad we were able to talk tonight after last night's telephone debacle.
Well, I'm glad you're getting your lines straight. And listen, in your musical format, I'm going to be looking for a little Brian Ferry now.
I tell you what, during the top of the hour break, I'll see if I can go and dredge some up.
Well, you take care. And continue.
All right.
But like I say, don't get on that slippery slope.
I'll stay off of it.
All right.
Thanks, Jim. Bye now. And David. Hey, David, you're head on. Hey, David.
Hello, Bob. Well, first of all, we have a musical bonbon. If you want to listen to Brian Ferry, Boys and Girls is one of the peaks on his many mountains, so dig that one up. Now then, before I go on to the Blessed Reverend Fred, let's talk about Iraq. I revere, I praise, I admire, I am astonished by my brother, who's never met me, Jim's learning, memory for facts, and sweet, clean heart. But We see things a trifle differently. Hillary Clinton and possibly Jim are clinging to the idea that what we do in Iraq can make any difference once we're gone.
Precisely.
It doesn't matter if we leave tomorrow afternoon at 1:15 or if we leave in 10 years. The country will fracture, fall into civil war. The three major divisions of that country will go back to what it was, just as Jim so accurately depicted before that British cartographer rushing his tea time said, that TEA, as in with a scone, I need to finish this map before I go on to other things. Oh, let these folks figure it out.
And exactly.
He circled a group of desert people he would never even come close to. Hillary is afraid of being a liberal as a second point.
She is. Yeah, she's running away from it.
She is so bruised by some of the things that were done to her and hers that she's afraid to square up her shoulders, throw up her chin, and say, I am a liberal. We need to get out of this war. Nixon drug it out 5 years beyond any recognizable virtue. And what happened? The country went the way it was going to go, and now then South Vietnam right now is probably further ahead than almost any nation in that area because those people took over for themselves and did what they wanted to do. Now they're on to Reverend Fred. And my good friend, Jim, again, I call him a good friend because I consider him that. Fred Phelps deserves to speak wherever and whenever with whatever megaphone his congregation will buy him. I want that man screaming that stuff because most of it will stick on his Republican protectors and progenitor. And I want that man to fully explain. The more he speaks, the better he explains the depravity of his position. I want him. I wish he were on the 6 o'clock news every night. I wish he were a guest of Bill O'Reilly's tonight and tomorrow night, and Hannity Job would snuggle up to him, put his little short arm around Fred's shoulder and say, speak to us, oh learned one, oh blessed one, oh studier of the word.
Hey, David, I hate to cut you short. Can you hang with us?
We gotta
hit this break.
Do it.
All right. Hang on. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Dad, let's sing that bedtime song.
Rock-a-bye, baby, by Newton's treetop. His first law of motion, make sure you won't stop. The same rules of physics apply to a ball, while gravity is a force that makes things fall.
By the sixth grade, many girls lose interest in math and science, but it's never too early to set your daughter's future in motion. For some simple ideas, go to girlsgotech.org.
A public service announcement brought to you by Girl Scouts of USA and Ad Council.
Mrs. Deer, you're in the road again.
Oh, Ranger, I saw headlights and...
I understand.
Hey, so you're working late, huh?
Yeah, Smokey and I were up thinking of ways to remind people to be responsible for fires they start.
So what'd you come up with?
Well, we're going to make some radio commercials featuring a ranger and talking animals.
A little sophomoric, don't you think?
Yeah, so?
Remember, only you can prevent wildfires. A public service message from Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ag Council.
Are you a safe miner? If so, you may be eligible to receive official professional miner recognition. Hello, I'm Bob Friend with the Mine Safety and Health Administration. If you've worked 3 years or more in the mining industry without incurring a lost time workplace injury, you can be recognized as a professional miner. Professional miners are a tremendously valuable resource to the mining industry because of their proven ability to work in a hazardous environment yet remain injury-free. Professional miners stay injury-free because they are experts at recognizing and eliminating hazards. Professional miners always wear their personal protective equipment. Professional miners always conduct thorough workplace examinations. And professional miners always make the right decision where matters of safety and health are concerned. Call your local MSHA office and ask them about the professional miner recognition. Thank you for listening.
Hello?
Hi, Bill? This is George Dewey from up the street.
Oh, hey, George. How you doing?
Good, good. Say, I noticed you've been walking to work these days instead of driving.
Mm.
And I don't quite know how to say this, but...
But what?
But your butt. Your buttocks. Your butt. I think I found your butt on my front lawn. Have you recently lost it?
As a matter of fact, I have, George. It's about time someone noticed.
Well, it was kind of hard to miss, if you know what I mean. Anyways, would you like it back?
Would I like it back? No, not really.
So if I throw it out.
That's fine. Take it easy, George.
Small step number 8. Walk instead of driving whenever you can. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to help you become a healthier, well, you. Get started at www.smallstep.gov and take a small step to get healthy.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Bob.
All right, welcome back. Coming up on 6 minutes after the hour. And just, you know, from a philosophical standpoint, I think a lot about talk radio in terms of, I guess, the way the format was invented by the right wing nuts. And that's where a caller calls in and goes, "Mega dittos, Rush, I'm almost as brain dead as you are, buddy. Wow, thanks. That's enough about you, let's talk about me." I hate that. So, you know, the paradigm that I'm working at here is conversation radio. Well, thanks for that. Next caller. Now, I hate that. We are liberals. We are progressives. We are intelligent. We are able to carry on conversations. And to that end, I hope as the show grows and develops that we'll have an opportunity to take the time that is that is warranted. Not needed, but warranted. Because a lot of this is about helping America see another way of doing things. That it all doesn't have to originate from hate and mean-spiritedness like it does from the Republican camp. That we can dialogue, we can talk, we can have a conversation, and intelligently show America the way out of the nightmare that these godforsaken, godless, soulless Republicans have taken us into. So with that in mind, let's do go back to the phones. David is still with us.
Oh, you bet he is.
Yes, he is. Hey, thanks for waiting. I appreciate it.
Oh, well, of course. And I want, and I'm sure by now we've got some wing nuts out there.
Oh, we do. They've been there since the first night.
Oh, yeah. They're casing the joint. I want all you right-wing nuts, I want you all to think about this the next time you listen to all of your favorites. Some caller will call in to, you know, "Oh, really?" or what's the latest one for a Hannity job? I like that one.
Yeah, Hannity job.
Or the Savage Wiener, you know, all those guys. And they'll say, "Oh, golly, thanks for taking my call. So it's an honor for me to talk to you." And you can just hear the host going, get to it. So anyway, "It's an honor to talk to you," comes from the caller. And then the caller says, I really agree with almost everything you say, but I've got one question about how we're conducting Iraq." Well, thank you for that question. That's a really great question, which leads me to the bullet point, bang, bang. bang, bang.
That I got on my fax machine this morning from the Republican National Committee.
Yeah. And it happened like that over and over and over. There is the barest essence of the beginning of possibly, on a good day, maybe a question or a straight line or anything, and then it cut them off, bang it away, and then, of course, this host person will hesitate at the end of a 90-second diatribe and say, thanks so much for calling. And the caller's been cut off.
Oh, yeah.
The caller's not there, hasn't been there, hasn't asked a question, hasn't interacted in any way whatsoever. But getting back to the Reverend Phelps, I really agree with you that he needs to be out there. He needs to be allowed to speak. And then those that can speak about the real truth need to step up and make sure the connection is made between these small little people like that Oklahoma legislator that now wants to subvert our ability to speak out, our freedom of speech. That's criminal. I don't want that man to do that. And just so Jim can rest a little bit easier, Jim, Bob does not want to encourage criminal behavior. He's not going to hire anyone to go do that. But should a family member hear what Phelps says, a lawyer 30 days out of law school could employ the fighting word defense and for an absolute minimal retainer. Should it be done in broad daylight, the sun shining on it with witnesses, what Phelps says to a relative would classify or is classic a fighting word defense.
Absolutely.
Should a blood relative lay waste to
now,
the rest?
And for those who might live in perhaps more what are deemed more civilized states than you and I, Tennessee and West Virginia, the fighting words defense is the idea is that there are some words that are so odious that they are the equivalent of being struck, and that at that point you have the right to defend yourself. Now, in red state parlance, where I grew up, where you grew up, in legal terms, it's also known as the defense is also known as the bastard had it coming to him.
Well, that's usually a later in the afternoon behind the courthouse reference. And in some points, North Carolina, those would say, he needed killing. But we won't go there.
Right. I understand. But you do get it. I mean, the fact is, these right-wing monsters that were in such a dead rush to get into this war are why Fred Phelps is outside those funerals.
They built the stage, and they ushered him toward it.
And gave him the microphone.
He simply walked up and did what he thinks he's, that's in his nature.
Yeah, snakes bite people. That's what snakes do. This is what Fred Phelps does. He's a monster. And
they made him. Oh, he had a very tough perception. While you were away from a live mic, some of the Reverend's minions made an appearance in Springfield, Tennessee.
Well, see, yeah. Exactly.
The reception wasn't all that sweet.
Well, no, they didn't. Isn't this the place where they encircled him and didn't let him get anywhere near the church where the funeral was taking place?
I'm not sure he himself was part of the one
right
in Springfield.
Yeah, his evil minions.
The folks that came here and with their nice three-color Dayglo orange and green sign, no, it was not anything, and I think they thought better of screaming at people in a working class church in a town of 5,000, 40 miles north of Nashville. It didn't go well for them. They didn't have the reception they thought they would get. They didn't immediately create converts.
Well,
somehow God wanted your son to be killed because America is, et cetera, et cetera. It didn't play well. It wasn't Peoria, but boy, it certainly didn't play well in Springfield.
Well, like I said, I remember the story, David, and I seem to remember specifically a call going out not from this particular church where the funeral was going on, but from the sister churches, the Episcopals and the Lutherans and the Presbyterians and the Catholics, and you know, all of them gathered, banded together to just make this protest ineffectual. And that is the, you know, that's learned hand stuff. The response to bad speech is more speech, not to suppress the bad speech.
And that is true. Churches you would never imagine. It was daylight, and the Church of Christ was seen doing something with an Episcopalian. And it's good you and I are seated because we understand the gravity of such a thing.
You're absolutely right. David, thanks so much.
Oh, thank you, Bob. And please, you know, earlier in the evening I heard something by Little Feet, and that's just always a joy because a man so learned as Blaise McNeil once said, and then Mr. Torres affirmed this, the voice of Lowell George, the perfect rock and roll instrument.
Absolutely. And by the way, our friend Peter down in Tallahassee emailed while you were talking. He said, this caller's great, referring to you. Hillary cannot win as Republican light. She has become a useless halfling.
You know, the poor thing just fell in love with that Clinton triangulation. What's the phrase? That is so 12 years ago. Hillary, let it go.
Well,
you don't carry the purse nor wear the shoes from 12 years ago. Drop that. Act like a them routine.
Well, the thing is, Bill Clinton could do things that no matter how bad she wants to, Hillary can't. Even with Bill guiding her, the best example I can think of is a couple of years ago, Pat Boone put out an album of heavy metal hits.
I remember that. Oh, that was.
You know, Pat Boone sings Black Sabbath. It ain't gonna work.
It takes just a little work for Pat, really, when it came to creativity, and certainly not when he...
But he can damn sure hustle some acne medicine, can't he?
I think there's a message hidden in there somewhere, along with some pancake makeup. But
David, have a great night. We got to roll.
You too, Bob. Thanks
later.
For the opportunity.
Oh, always a pleasure. Okay, break time. The phone number, 877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 877-443-2366. Locally, 304-658-5453. Now, see, this is ever so much more fun. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
There is good news in the fight against breast cancer. The deaths from this disease are actually declining. But we can't celebrate too soon. The reason deaths from breast cancer are declining is because more and more of you are going through cancer screenings. And it is those screenings that are detecting it earlier and earlier when it's most curable. October is National Breast Cancer Awareness Month. If you're a woman over 40, take this opportunity to schedule your annual mammogram. If you're a woman of any age and are at high risk for developing breast cancer, talk to your doctor about how often you should receive screening mammograms. And share this with your sisters, mothers, wives, and daughters. If you need more information, it is easily available at www.radiologyinfo.org. Breast cancer deaths are on the decline. Let's keep it that way. Get the information you need about mammography screening from the Radiological Society of North America at www.radiologyinfo.org.
When I found out my jeans were made using child labor in sweatshops, I wrote a letter to the company saying, reconsider your labor practices. A few months later, I get a letter back saying, thanks for being a loyal customer, and they included a coupon for a 25% discount on their jeans. So I got smart, wrote letters every day to all the stores that carry the brand, asking them to stop supporting the companies who use child labor in sweatshops. And I just kept getting letters back, thanking me for my concerns, and more coupons for more discounts on more jeans. So I'm telling my friend about it, and she flips out, saying that between all the letters and coupons, some paper company cut down a small forest, driving off two indigenous tribes, hundreds of endangered animals, killing thousands of plant species, some of which may have contained vaccines for HIV, cancer, and syphilis. Meanwhile, the guys cutting down the trees are 13-year-old kids who have worked night and day for months just to save up enough money to buy a pair of jeans made by child labor in sweatshops.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. Just one pint of blood can save up to 3 lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
Want to fight childhood asthma? Then keep your home smoke-free, because secondhand smoke can trigger your child's asthma attacks. Even as little as a puff or two can trigger an attack. So make a new house rule. No smoking indoors, even when the kids are out of the house or in another room. Toss the matches, hide the ashtrays, and put your foot down. If you're gonna smoke, you're gonna smoke outside, because smoke can linger for longer than you think. And just a little secondhand smoke can be enough to trigger an asthma attack. The same goes for the car. A couple of puffs in a space that small is more than enough to cause trouble. So stub it out before you step in. Hey, it takes a lot of willpower to quit smoking, but it can take a lot less to quit smoking in the house, and it can make a big difference to a child with asthma. Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org, because no child should feel like a fish out of water. Brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
After the hour, I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On. That was abrupt. All right. I passed along our friend Peter's kindly comments toward David's remarks down in Nashville. He also adds, you make a good point about this man Phelps not being denounced by the Bush administration. This administration not only does not denounce other hate mongers, Cheney himself was on Rush's show recently. The administration is perfectly happy with any organization or man that promotes hate and divisiveness in this country. Absolutely. Absolutely. This is their modus operandi. Let's go back to the phones from one David to another. Hey, David, you're Head On.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing great. Phone's even working and everything.
You got to play Italian Restaurant. That's one of my favorites.
Oh, I love that song. Bottle of red, bottle of white.
What I was calling about is ExxonMobil's just posted their second quarter profits.
Yeah, and it'd pretty much gag a maggot, wouldn't it?
That was $10
billion. Yeah.
And kind of feel like, you know, we're subsidizing terrorism with... you know, our dependence on Saudi oil.
That's exactly what we're doing, David. It's exactly what we're doing.
But what gets me is on the domestic side, even with our domestic refineries, if they're pulling it out on our side at $10 to $15 a barrel, they're going with OPEC, what OPEC has set, which is 400% higher.
Right.
So Frist is apparently... called for an investigation, and I guess they're finally going to get called in and be forced to explain some things. And some people want, you know, the government to get involved with some type of excess profit penalty tax or something.
Well, I don't necessarily think that would be such a bad idea, because you can't just ask them nicely not to be greedy. They've shown, and some of this, David, some of this is addictive, is classic addictive behavior. When a junkie thinks that the fix is not going to be there that much longer, he tries to get as much as he can, and the dealer does the same thing on the other end, getting as much as he can for what he has, and that's what's going on here.
Well, the other side of the coin, though, is that that's not exactly a capitalist ideal.
Well, David, capitalism only works because it's been proven time and again. Capitalism only works under reasonable regulation. Because otherwise, the market just behaves as a beast, and it consumes and kills, and destroys. There, some restraints have to be placed on it.
And all the areas where there, I've got this, I sent it to someone else, but the breakdown of gasoline prices across the world, ranging from, you know, the European $6 down to the Venezuelan 19 cents.
Right.
And Saudi Arabia and all the oil-producing companies had this ridiculously low amount that they charged their people, but they passed on the savings to their people, whereas...
Well, yeah, I mean, it's, what, $6 a gallon in Britain, France, Germany, Italy, that places like that?
Yeah, those areas, yeah. But,
but they get something for the $6.
Yeah, but the oil-producing nations, including Venezuela and down South America, is, you know, it's under a dollar. It's changed, like 19 cents is what it is in Venezuela.
Right, and I remember hearing a long time ago that it's 10 cents a gallon in Kuwait, but bread's, you know, $8 a loaf.
Right, but I mean, at least they passed it on to their people. I mean, at least they passed the savings on.
Well, certainly they do, but by the same token, David, so do the European states. Because most of that $6 a gallon is tax. And they get roads and a public retirement system and 6 weeks of paid vacation a year. And that's what that subsidizes.
I wonder what they do with that $10
billion. Well, take a look at the CEO salaries.
Well, that's profit, isn't it? Isn't that like above operating cost?
Well, it is above operating cost, but you've also got to remember that most of those high mucky muck salaries are tied to profit. And as a consequence, they're paid in stock options. They're paid in cash.
I wonder if they're using any of that for alternative fuel exploration.
Well, if you watch your TV much, you know that BP's out there saying, "Oh gosh, we're even looking into solar." You know, I doubt it.
Try to go to Toyota and get a Prius.
Oh yeah, they're at a premium. Well, you can if you've got a year old Prius, you can sell it for more than you bought it for.
Yeah, I mean you can't get one. That's the point. I mean, you know, they can't keep up with production.
Right, they can't keep up with demand.
And you're telling me that none of the big three can come up with a hybrid?
Well, I mean, they have. Chevy has come out with that Silverado just lately, and the Ford Escape is out in a hybrid now. But they're both guzzling SUVs.
Right.
You know, we need something. Now, I'm glad to have those vehicles out there. The second hybrid that Toyota introduced was the Highlander hybrid. And frankly, there's me, my wife, and our four children, and we can't fit into a five-passenger sedan.
Right.
If we were really thinking smart, the big three would crank out a hybrid minivan or a hybrid, you know, anything that will carry, you know, more than five human beings comfortably.
Well, there's something in the pipeline that has discouraged this type of development. You know, whether it's the oil company profits or, I don't know, the way the big three's tied into it, but something.
Well, this is part of the mindset of the big three, David. They, you know, part of their troubles goes all the way back to the first oil crises. They were cranking out gas guzzlers then because that's what they said the American people wanted. You know, the oil crisis hit. We needed fuel-efficient vehicles. And that's when Japan and Germany really, really put the hurting on Detroit.
And now natural gas has just hit an all-time high.
Yeah. There are no good times ahead. I mean, I'm not a pessimist, but if we don't get our act together on some of this oil business, I don't care, Democrat or Republican, we're going to suffer.
What's the stuff I heard? It doesn't make any sense. I mean, our whole state sitting on natural gas, of course we don't own any of it, and then we can't buy what we have. We ship it off other natural gas.
Where we live, after gas, can't get natural gas. It literally comes within, you know, less than 100 feet of my property. I can't get natural gas here.
Why is that?
Because they don't deliver it. They don't serve this area.
It's piped in somewhere. Piped out.
Yeah, it's just piped out. Nobody has it. I mean, a few people with wells on their property might have a gas arrangement with the company that they have to honor because it was entered into 80 years ago. But
that's
Mountaineer
wrong.
Gas or Hope or Dominion or whatever, you can't know. My choices here are propane and electric and wood. And since I don't have a forest on my property, wood's kind of out of the question.
Well, I filled up 200 gallons of propane this summer while the price was down to get me through the winter, and I have enough to get me through the winter. It was $1.75 when I filled up this summer.
And now it's up to, what, $2.50 and better?
It's something. Yeah, but if you fill up in the summer for everything you need for the winter, then.
But, I mean, do you heat the house on propane and everything?
Yeah.
And 200 gallons is going to get you through the winter?
Yeah, I only have 1,000 square feet.
Yeah, well, I guess some of it's a difference in personality.
I have a 40,000 BTU and a 30,000 BTU hooked up to 200 gallons, and I only used 110 last year.
Good on you. Well, you know, at least it sounds like you're at least doing your part. We got to hit our bottom break there, David. I appreciate the call.
All right, we'll see.
Take care. And, let's do this right away. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
What's it like?
What's it like?
It's lonely.
It's really lonely.
I miss my brother.
I miss my brother.
I'm surrounded by other people, but it's not the same.
I've got other people around me, but it's not the same.
It's pretty scary, but I don't let it rattle me.
It's pretty scary around here, but I don't let it rattle me.
You always have to watch your back.
There's no one to watch my back.
I spend my whole day worried who's out to get me.
I'm always wondering who's out to get me.
But I can take care of myself.
But I can take care of myself.
No matter what, I'll keep my head up.
No matter what, I'll keep my head up.
It's not like I have a choice.
It's not like I have a choice.
This'll all be over in 5 years, 3 months, and 17 days.
This'll all be over in 5 years, 3 months, and 17 days.
Go to jail for a gun crime and your family serves a sentence with you. Something to think about before committing a gun crime. Gun crimes hit home. This message brought to you by Project Safe Neighborhoods and the Ad Council.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her. Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Hey, Ranger, why do you have to remind people to be careful with fire?
Well, Mr. Mountain Lion, sometimes people need to be reminded about certain things, like not to run with scissors or let children play with wild dingoes, and to be responsible for fires they start.
So what you're saying is that people can be careless and forgetful?
Pretty much.
That makes me very sad.
Sounds like someone needs a hug.
Back off or I'll turn your hat into confetti!
Remember, only you can prevent wildfires. A public service message from Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service's State Forester, and the Ag Council.
Yes, we can bomb most any land. On CNN with marching bands. Pour ourselves an ice cold Coke. Make a war. Tell a joke. Over me, the fear and insecurity. Yes, I am American. From Pearl Harbor to Afghanistan.
Welcome back. Well, the last 20-plus odd minutes of tonight's
is history.
Thursday night edition of Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. If you want to get a last comment in, we got a little bit of time left. 304-658-5453 or 877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 877-443-2366. And, of course, Bob at headonradio.com. What David brought up is a valid point. Just to reiterate, today, ExxonMobil announced a 5% jump in profits for the third quarter. Just the third quarter. Just for the last 3 months. In the last 3 months, Exxon has made, over and above their operating costs, ExxonMobil has made $10 billion. Now, I don't think you can square that up with any idea of the scarcity of fuel. You and I have paid for those $10 billion profits. And I don't want to rain on anybody's parade or get anybody's cornflakes soggy. But there's no, you know, there's no boycotting ExxonMobil. Junkies don't boycott their dealer. So it would seem to me the only rational and reasonable way of reining in this rapacious greed is regulation. Do you remember when America had a vibrant, growing airline industry? I remember it. Oh my God, there was Pan Am, Eastern, American, United, TWA, on and on. And they were growing, and they were successful. Do you remember when the American airline industry began to go to hell? Is there an airline now that isn't in bankruptcy? I'm being a little bit facetious. Do you remember when they went to hell? I do. Do you remember when St. Ronnie the Dead got his nasty claws on the government? And all of the cronies that he brought with him said, regulation bad. And the airlines were deregulated. And the airlines went to hell. Sure you remember that. And we don't have to look back that much, that far, for something as arcane as that. Four, 5 years. Do you remember the Dear Leaders front men out there pitching the idea, regulation bad? And the energy industry was deregulated, in states like California. Anybody remember a little company called Enron that ballooned up to artificially humongous sizes and phonied up stock prices because they'd been deregulated? Because in deregulation they were allowed to speculate in the energy market? Regulation bad? You so sure about that? Do you think regulation was bad for the people who had decent jobs working for the airlines before deregulation and found themselves learning to say things like, "Welcome to Walmart," after deregulation? Now, I imagine in Congress we might have some hearings and some hand-wringing, but look, the Republicans who control Congress are best buddies with the oil industry. We've got oil executives in the White House and the vice presidency. Now, are the dealers really going to give the junkies a break? Dealers don't like the junkies. They don't hang out with the junkies. They just sell to the junkies and smile. Now, there's an alternative, and I am not saying by any stretch of the imagination that the Democratic Party is lily white, crystal clear, and pure as the driven snow. because they're not. As long as the Democratic Leadership Council exists, our party will be as sucked up to the corporatists as they possibly can be, although they'll never be as sucked up as the Republican Party is. We have an opportunity, however, in 2006. Now, in our state, here in West Virginia, the opportunity arises in the the chance to throw out Arch Moore in a bad wig. You know, Shelley Moore, the rotten apple that hath fallen not far from the tree. That's one step. That's one Republican member of Congress we can get the hell rid of and maybe start trying to save this country while there's something left worth saving. Because Shelley Moore is not going to call the CEO of ExxonMobil or ConocoPhillips or BP to account. Because George won't let her. And she has those knee pads for a reason. Okay? Throw her out, put somebody new in, and tell that somebody new that if they don't get busy double-quick working for working Americans, they're going to have a two-year hiatus in Washington, and then that's over, too. You know, we have an opportunity to be sovereigns if we want to. But it begins in 06. It's fun to speculate about what might happen in 08 and who's going to run against Manchurian McCain. That's fun. The business is in 06. The rubber meets the road in 06, not 08. You know, what? Everybody's trying to run Hillary for president. She's got a Senate race to run, doesn't she? 06. Make it clear to them we're tired of playing. And we're going to get some satisfaction. And we're going to stop paying $2.55 a gallon for gasoline, or $3 a gallon, or $3.25 a gallon for gasoline, just so some rat at ExxonMobil can have another $15,000 shower curtain or $10,000 umbrella stand. It is not worth the very lifeblood of this nation to see a 25-cent per share profit declaration for the people who hold stock in ExxonMobil. I should think this would be fairly self-evident. Detroit out there, you know, we talked a little bit about why Detroit won't build a hybrid automobile. Or the one that baffles me the most, frankly, and maybe I've missed something here, somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, Daimler owns Chrysler now. Mercedes-Benz, for years, has put an absolutely magnificent diesel engine in its vehicles. And they have not thought it worthwhile to do it with one single Chrysler. Yeah, I know about the turbo diesel, the Cummins. It's not the same thing. Where is Chrysler's hybrid? Why is Chevrolet introducing a hybrid in a pickup truck, but not in a family sedan? Why is the only hybrid Ford offers a Ford Escape? What's wrong with starting that out in the Mercury Mystique or the Ford Taurus? This is bass-ackwards thinking, and this bass-ackwards thinking is about to cripple a whole lot of people. Delphi Corporation is on the verge of going belly up. They've declared bankruptcy, and now they're telling their union workers that they want them to work for $9 an hour with a tenfold increase in their health care costs. Delphi makes car parts that are they're sold to manufacturers, Ford, Chevy, Chrysler, what have you. Andy Loughran is a 54-year-old Delphi worker from Dayton, Ohio. He says, how in the hell do they expect anybody to live? You think you're going to get a good quality product at $9 an hour? But the lovely little secret in all of the Delphi debacle is that shortly before the bankruptcy declaration, the Delphi executives gave themselves a raise. These people live outside the America you and I live in. They don't see the hurting. They don't hear the suffering, and they don't care. If it all ended tomorrow, they would be as stinking rich as they are now. They must be reined in. Things have got to be fixed. You have the power to fix them. If you want to. If you've got the gumption to write a letter. If you've got the gumption to raise your voice. You can do it. On radio, I'm Bob Kincaid.
Let's sing that bedtime song.
Rock-a-bye baby by Newton's treetop. His first law of motion, make sure you won't stop. The same rules of physics apply to a ball. While gravity is a force that makes things fall.
By the sixth grade, many girls lose interest in math and science, but it's never too early to set your daughter's future in motion. For some simple ideas, go to girlsgotech.org.
A public service announcement brought to you by Girl Scouts of USA and Ad Council.
Mrs. Deer, you're in the road again.
Oh, Ranger, I saw headlights and...
I understand.
Hey, so you're working late, huh?
Yeah, Smokey and I were up thinking of ways to remind people to be responsible for fires they start.
So what you come up with?
Well, we're going to make some radio commercials featuring a ranger and talking animals.
Little sophomoric, don't you think?
Yeah, so?
Remember, only you can prevent wildfires. A public service message from Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ag Council.
Are you a safe miner? If so, you may be eligible to receive official professional miner recognition. Hello, I'm Bob Friend with the Mine Safety and Health Administration. If you've worked 3 years or more in the mining industry without incurring a lost time workplace injury, you can be recognized as a professional miner. Professional miners are a tremendously valuable resource to the mining industry because of their proven ability to work in a hazardous environment yet remain injury-free. Professional miners stay injury-free because they are experts at recognizing and eliminating hazards. Professional miners always wear their personal protective equipment. Professional miners always conduct thorough workplace examinations. And professional miners always make the right decision where matters of safety and health are concerned. Call your local MSHA office and ask them about the professional miner recognition. Thank you for listening.
Hello.
Hi, Bill. This is George Dewey from up the street.
Oh, hey, George. How you doing?
Good, good. Say, I noticed you've been walking to work these days instead of driving, and I don't quite know how to say this, but
what?
But your butt, your buttocks, your butt. I think I found your butt on my front lawn. Have you recently lost it?
As a matter of fact, I have, George. It's about time someone noticed.
Well, it was kind of hard to miss, if you know what I mean. Anyways, would you like it back?
Would I like it back? No, not really.
So it's okay if I throw it out?
Sure, that's fine. Take it easy, George.
Small step number 8. Walk instead of driving whenever you can. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to help you become a healthier, well, you. Get started at www.smallstep.gov and take a small step to get healthy.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Talking, some aren't meant to say a thing.
she opened up her mouth and that sweet voice came out. I lost track of my own name.
All right, we're back for the last 10 minutes or so. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On. Those are the Drive-By Truckers, my favorite band. Listen, just so you can understand what it is that's happening with Delphi, what they're doing to their workers. The plan that Delphi has put forward is for a worker who makes $25 to $27 an hour to accept $9.50 to $10.50 an hour. That'll put a single wage earner household at $18,720 a year. That's more than $600 below the federal poverty line for a family of four. That's America under Bush. That is America with the greed monsters in charge. Oh, and if you weren't watching, and you know, most of the people that listen to this show, you know, they would as soon stick their finger in a light socket as go into Walmart. But do run by the New York Times site if you get a chance, or barring that, go to walmartwatch.com. You might be interested to find out what the New York Times found out about Walmart yesterday. They broke a story. They got their hands on a secret board of directors memo. And it's not real pretty. Walmart's executives are looking to cut spousal benefits. They want their managers to hire more part-time employees and encourage faster turnover. That means fire more people or make it so miserable they can't stand to work there. And they want them to discourage older and unhealthy people from working at Walmart by requiring more jobs to require physically challenging tasks like collecting carts and stocking shelves. This is one of the largest employers in the United States. When you boil that little list down, what they want is child labor. They want 20-year-olds, 18-year-olds. They've already gotten busted for working 14- and 15-year-olds. This is the America that the family values, moral values voters gave birth to in 2000 and 2004. This is the America that the Bush voters have foisted on the normal, decent people. And I know, listen, I'm going to hammer on this stuff. I'm not going to let up. Forgive me. Oh, here he goes again. Damn it! I have heard nothing for the past 20, 25 years from these godless freaks in the Republican Party except, well, personal responsibility. We must all be personally responsible. We cannot rely on government. It's our government. And somewhere along the way, personal responsibility means going to the voting booth and voting on something besides abortion, some woman's innards, or whether a couple of gay dudes can go out and go and pick out a China pattern, for Christ's sake. Personal responsibility means taking that right to vote and going into the ballot box, or into the voting booth. I don't think, help me, I'm stuck in the ballot box. I can't get out the little slit. No, there's no more ballot box. We got freaking video game machine thingies that don't even work. Personal responsibility means going to vote and thinking about what your vote means. Who gives gives a damn if they pick out a China pattern? What matters to me is if my fellow West Virginians, my fellow Americans, have to choose between getting their heart medicine or gasoline or buying a bag of groceries or a gallon of milk for the babies. That matters. It doesn't matter whether or not some Elmer Gantry wannabe freak in Alabama puts a damned rock in the courthouse. Get the damn thing out and move on to what matters. It matters when a 54-year-old man in Dayton, Ohio, has to go from $27 an hour to $9 so that some Lark's Vomit canapé-eating rich Republican freaks can have a few cents more on the share price in their golden parachute. It matters! And when you go and you vote Republican, you're telling that 54-year-old man in Dayton that he can go to hell for all you care because you're worried about whether a couple of gay dudes can pick out a China pattern. And when you do that, you spit in the face of the people who fought and died for that franchise. I'm talking more to the lurkers, I guess. I'm not talking to the... But, damn it, you Democrats, you liberals, you progressives, you decent human beings, it's not enough to go to Democratic Underground and type back and forth at each other and talk about what a bunch of freaks the other people are. I love DU. I have a blast there. It's not enough. It's what you say while you're pumping gas. It's what you say when you're in the grocery checkout line. It's what you talk to your neighbors, because for all you know, you probably lived next door to one of those people that peed on their own franchise when they cast their vote over some dudes getting married. That's where it matters. Otherwise, it's chatter in the monkey house. Well, I've got a fine little patina of sweat across my forehead. So I guess that means it's quitting time. Tonight's show was produced by my lovely spouse, Agnes. Engineered by Randy Kerbway. Ben Birch handles the stream and the archive at whiterosesociety.org. Brian Reznor announces the program. And RMR, it's all for you.